welcome to Matt Nair on Air. So very happy to have you along with us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always, always join us at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PASTY. It is PASTY, or PARTY. Or you can leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter. Coming up at 10:33, as he does usually, Dan Schaefer will be here so we can recombobulate. And I believe we're going to talk about the latest in the redistricting maps. A couple other things going on that Dan wants to kick around. And then next hour at 11:30, there's a story about some stolen ruby slippers. The man who stole them and something he missed. There's an important detail that he missed.
I think this is going to be a movie.
It should be a movie.
I think it should be a fun comedy. Touching. Touching comedy.
So we'll kick that around. And then we want to know what movies you have never seen. Everyone else in the world has seen this movie. I have a whole bunch of them. We're going to talk about that starting at 11:33. Right now, though, we wanted to begin with just covering some local Wisconsin news, kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
A Wisconsin news grab bag, if you will.
A roundup.
There you go. An article in the Wisconsin WPR from Hope Kirwan talking again about this terrible usage of fentanyl and fentanyl deaths all across the country. It certainly isn't just here in Wisconsin, but this is an issue here as well. In December, Kenosha County had 9 overdoses in 12 days, and this is all linked to fentanyl being in street drugs.
Yes.
So if the concern, and at least one person in this article said as well, one guy came in and he said, I only use coke. And that's not something normally associated with getting laced with fentanyl.
I mean,
but now it is.
Yeah. Like,
so you really, not that you ever really knew what you were getting buying street drugs, but this has become a bigger and bigger issue.
Number one deaths. I mean, that's just, and when it's laced with, it can be laced with so many things.
So much terrible stuff.
That's just a big red flag in and of itself. And that just goes to show how little education we have on it. Like, they're not educating. Like, I see the billboards, I see the TV shows, but I just feel like there needs to be regular education on this. Then, but I don't know about staying away from drugs. You can't tell people to stay away from drugs. They're going to take drugs. They want to take drugs, but they have to be careful on how they get them or who they get them from. I mean, they say if you buy them illegally, most of them are illegal, but.
Well, these are almost all illegal drugs.
Yeah.
So, but how do you reach these people? This is not something that we've never talked about.
No. I guess it's just for, and more on the, on you know, when we know you want to talk about the Narcan and its availability,
yes,
its usage, its procedure, and the fact that it should just be available. And I mean, it's almost at this point now where you should have one in your car, just in case,
which is kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
Another person cited in this story from WPR about fentanyl, he's urging drug users and people around them, don't wait for first responders. So if you're with someone who is doing street drugs and they overdose, don't just call 911, he said, but then you need to learn basic life support skills.
Yes.
Basic rescue breathing.
I guess that's more where I'm coming from, is like, if you are going to live this life, and I know it sounds kind of weird to tell someone who takes drugs, hey, you need to have basic like EMT skills. You should have them. You should have Narcan on your person. You should have any sort of like minor, I don't know, just like to help anyone who's overdosing or having a problem.
It's, again, I don't know how we can put the onus on drug users to be responsible enough to take some EMT training courses or just basic CPR.
I know.
But it would be part of it.
Yeah.
Some fentanyl deaths in some counties are coming down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
However, the declines are not even across all parts of the population. The number of overdose deaths involving black men and people 55 to 65, those are the ones that are increasing. I know. It's just, it's not good. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, if you want to join us. Stephen from Green Bay on the line. Good morning, Stephen. What do you want to say?
Good morning. I have a unique perspective growing up as a child with a mom who was a drug addict. I actually grew up around a lot of these drugs that are being laced nowadays. And I will tell you that a lot of drug addicts are a lot smarter than a lot of people think when it comes to really knowing what they're getting when it comes to drugs. The problem with the fentanyl is you really can't tell. It blends in with whatever you put it with. And that is becoming to be the big problem. Obviously, I'm not going to, go on live radio and advocate for illegal drug use, but let's be honest, it's going to happen anyways, whether we want it to or not. I don't think anyone wants people to take the drugs that could possibly kill them. I think we need to provide access to tools that police use that can test these drugs, and it will tell you if there's fentanyl in the drug or not. We should be making those more publicly accessible. So at least there's a tool out there for these users to get their hands on, and, there'd be a way to test to see if there's fentanyl in the drugs that they're getting.
It's not a bad idea. I don't know that would, what it would take, Stephen, to make that happen.
And I'm sure the cops' first response would be, well, we don't want you having that, because if you have that, then you're going to take drugs. There'll be a reason. I don't disagree with you, Stephen. I think, and I agree with you, and that's where my point was earlier, was I know drug users. I know on the spectrum from casual to not casual, yeah. And they're not dumb, and they know what they're doing. They know that what they're doing isn't the smartest idea at all times. So to say to them, all right, if you're going to do this, have these things.
So you can at least protect yourself.
Yeah, at the very least, if you have a friend who's with you, like if I'm driving with you and all of a sudden something happens, I know how to, administer Narcan or, call 911 or let them walk me through a process to help them. The drugs aren't going anywhere. We can't get rid of them. That's impossible. It's just not going to happen. So I guess we have to educate people more on the other side of it.
And give them tools, as what Stephen said. Thank mm-hmm. you so much, Stephen. Really appreciate it. Always appreciate you listening. We're doing a Wisconsin news overview, a couple of things going on. I know Todd Alba, our colleague who follows us from noon to two here on Civic Media, has talked about this quite a bit. In October, Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman directed UW-Milwaukee and Oshkosh to end classes at their branch campuses in Washington County and Fond du Lac. And now on Friday, they added a third one to the closure list. UW-Green Bay Chancellor Mike Alexander announcing the campus in Marinette is also going to end its in-person instruction. That school offered only 14 in-person classes and enrolled 213 students this fall. I hate to see these closures.
Yeah.
And again, Todd has talked about this quite extensively and grew up in Richland Center, and I believe that's where he first got his first couple of years of school.
Mm-hmm.
But they are so crucially important, especially in those smaller rural communities. Yeah. At the same time, if enrollment is falling, how do you square that?
You can't. The amount of money it takes to maintain those buildings, if the education's available online or maybe in another space, can there be, imagine though the education's online.
Sure.
You can take
classes.
You can
right.
graduate from a right. university school.
True.
But yeah, I mean, these places aren't cheap to run. And when you will have a few hundred people, I mean, the staff probably outnumbers
the students
by a great deal. So yeah, I mean, it sucks and we hate to see it, but it's with the UW budget being squeezed for everything and being used as a play toy, they have to make those hard sacrifices.
It's tragic. It is tragic to see. In 2010, Washington County had 1,054 students. It's now down to 276.
Which school?
In Washington County.
Jeez.
A decline of 75%. In Fond du Lac, in 2010, they had 733. Now they have 243. So it's you absolutely hate to see it, especially with Wisconsin's long reputation as being at the forefront of education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's heartbreaking. It is. What is the answer?
I guess the answer is if those classes are available online, that's a good answer. I mean, being at home for school isn't the greatest thing in the world to do all the time.
It doesn't work for everybody.
But if you can still get an education, that's, I think, more important than a building at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah. And we just had Joe McClear on yesterday.
Lovely Joe McClear.
Lovely Joe McClear, who's a lawyer and does estate planning, and especially for people who are getting older. Talk to your elderly relatives, folks. Waukesha woman was scammed. She's 84. She got scammed out of $700,000, more than $700,000
yeah.
this month. So she was on her computer. This has happened to me. An advertisement comes up and says, your computer has been compromised.
Yeah.
Call this number and you can't get rid of it
mm-hmm.
until you reboot your computer.
Yep.
Well, this woman called the number that popped up. He said he could fix her computer. This gave him access to her computer. And then he found out how many assets that she had and convinced her to invest with him. And so she got scammed out of over $700,000. If my mother were still alive, God bless her, I can see her falling for something like this. And that's why it's so important to talk to your elderly relatives.
Yeah.
It really is.
I'm very lucky that my mom is...
She's sharp.
She's sharp and savvy computer-wise, so she knows that she ain't... But that doesn't mean that in 5 years, the sharpness is going to be as sharp. And that's what worries me, that she's going to have, you know, I mean, older people have just as much access to tablets and computers and phones and TVs, like anything you can buy something and sell something. Oh, yeah. So just, yeah, yes, agreed.
Just talk to them and reinforce, mm-hmm. you know, explain to them what these things are, how scams work, things to look out for, and just talk to them.
Sit down and have a chat. Yeah.
So you can protect them. All right. We are going to continue with our Wisconsin news overview, and then at 10:33, recombobulating with the one and only Dan Schaefer. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Dan Schaefer coming up in just a little bit so we can recombobulate.
Yes. I feel like Dr. Slide's the one you are.
I'm leaning.
You're leaning towards Dr. Slide.
We're gonna keep rotating nicknames for Calvin.
I've not heard anything from anybody. People.
You can always submit them.
Submit nicknames.
844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Leave a comment on the live stream as well on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. And it's really fun to watch the folks on the live stream interact. It's like they have their own separate party going on.
Hello, Papa. Hello, Tony. Hello, Megan. We appreciate you being here. And you other five, you're pretty too.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Kicking around just in Wisconsin news overview, and I'm sure you may have heard this kind of got passed over over the weekend on Saturday. But Congressman Derek Van Orden announcing he will be seeking another term in the U.S. House of Representatives. He was elected in 2022. He sits on the House Committee on Ag, Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, and the Committee on Veterans Affairs. So he will be on the November election ballot.
He will be.
He's got three Democrats are vying to take him on.
Yes, Rebecca Cook, Katrina Shanklin, and Eric Wilson are all going to be facing off in a Democratic Party, primary.
Primary. Mm-hmm.
And whomever comes out on top will be facing him in the general election. And, you know, he sits on all those committees and helps none of them. So,
see, I mean, he sits on the Agriculture Committee.
Farmers, how's he doing?
I would love to know from folks in the third district.
Yeah.
How has he been since he's been elected? It's 2 years. Yeah. He's been in there since 2022. What has he brought back to his district?
They tried calling him. He was in Israel.
Oh, he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. In response, the third congressional district, Wisconsin Democrats, out with a statement saying Derek Van Orden announces his reelection campaign while still in the midst of a disastrous first term in Washington. He's proven over and over he does not have the judgment, temperament, or character to represent Western Wisconsin, from yelling at teens in the Capitol Rotunda to abandoning his post to insert himself into the Israel-Gaza conflict. Van Orden consistently makes national headlines as a volatile and unpredictable member of Congress. Again, is that the view of people in the 3rd Congressional District? I don't know.
I would love to hear that. I would love to know. If you are in the 3rd District, call us, please. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96.
Pasty.
Nice.
Sure.
And let us know, honestly, because we're not up there. And I can see how Derek Van Orden can be a guy's guy and have a beer and have more beers and then yell at some kids and have another beer. But he was a joke on Weekend Update for his ineptitude. So I feel like Republicans, are you going to run against him, GOP? Seriously, he's not a good rep for your party. He's not a good rep for the district. Certainly not a good rep for the state. And I don't think he's a fine person to rep America, especially over in Israel.
Well, that was another weird side trip he took. And then we're going to wrap this up with, see, we can agree on some things, Greg. Bipartisan measures. A bipartisan measure currently being debated in the Wisconsin State Legislature.
Hasn't been agreed upon yet, then.
No, they're kicking it around. Under this bipartisan proposal, Wisconsin restaurants would be forbidden from saying they serve maple syrup if it's not the real thing. Any amber substance that is anything but 100% pure maple syrup, Greg, such as those that derive their sweetness from corn or other additives, could still be sold and bought, but you'd have to call it something else. So this is called the Truth in Maple Syrup. Maintaining Truth in Maple Syrup supports the Wisconsin maple industry, which is the fourth largest in the country. I did not know that. We're going to have to chase down some maple syrup producers.
I'm going to put you in charge of chasing down maple producers.
They don't run very fast.
No, they don't. They're sticky.
They're sticky.
I came up with a solution that doesn't even need any sort of legislation. Just have them put on their restaurant menus flapjacks with 100% maple juice.
I completely support that.
Yeah, because you're big on the juice thing.
I am. Well, yeah. Again, soy milk is not milk.
It says you.
It's soy juice.
Whatever.
Oh, it's not milk.
It's cow juice.
No, well, it's just cow juice. No, it's milk.
It's cow juice.
No, it's milk.
Just cow juice.
It's very specific.
Thick cow juice.
Look it up.
I'll look it up. You look it up.
So we'll see what happens with this highly controversial Truth in Maple Syrup measure.
They can still serve maple juice if they want.
They can, but you just have to admit that this is not 100%. Admit this is not 100% maple syrup. Wisconsin produces almost 300,000 gallons of syrup a year, according to the University of Wisconsin-Madison Extension.
Where do we lie on the list of top maple producers again?
Fourth. That's really high.
Fourth. We're coming for you, Vermont.
We have the Wisconsin maple syrup producers.
Ooh, maple and cranberry.
So we're going to reach out to them and find out more about this.
Oh, this is a thing now.
It is a
You've made it a thing.
I did not know that we were the fourth largest producer.
And that's what I talk about. We should have a segment on the show talking about
More than cheese.
Talk about all the great things that we put out in the world and are a leader in. Not just like, oh,
it's not just dairy. It's cranberries.
Mm-hmm.
It's
maple syrup.
Maple syrup. And ginseng.
Ginseng. Oh, my gosh. Ginseng's insane.
It's huge.
Yeah,
it's huge.
Oh, my gosh.
Linda is on the line from Eau Claire. Just got a couple of minutes left. Linda, what did you want to say? Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, I'm in the third CD with Eric Van Orden, and that's absolutely the sentiment, that this guy is not fit. It's an embarrassment that he's our representative. And anyway, I know you were talking about him a little while ago. You know, he takes credit for everything. I get his newsletter, and anything that the Biden administration does that's a good thing, he takes credit for it.
We've seen a lot of that lately, Linda. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
And actually, I want to applaud you for actually reading his newsletter, because I think there are so many people who get those flyers and just toss them in the trash or toss them in the recycling. So the fact that you actually read it, good for you. That means you were certainly involved with what's going on in your district. So do you think a challenger against him will have a chance, Linda?
Oh, absolutely. There are three people we've got that we're going to have a primary for.
Yeah.
We've got Rebecca Cook. We've got Katrina Shanklin,
mm-hmm.
who is a real a powerful, and then another fellow, Eric. Wilson. Yes. Got three people, and yeah, we can come up with somebody much more intelligent and helpful than this dude.
We got about a minute left, Linda. So thank you so very much for calling. Especially thank you for listening. Very much appreciated. When we come back from the news, we are going to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Cool Cal B on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Just a reminder to download the Civic Media app wherever you get your apps.
How much is that?
It's free, Greg.
Get out of town.
It's free.
Take your maple juice and get out of my city.
It's fabulous. And you can listen to all of the stations all across the Civic Media Radio Network. When you download the app, you can also call and or text directly from the app, which is a pretty snappy. That's a pretty snappy thing. As far as apps go.
It's a snappy
app. I was just saying to myself, Jane, that, you know, this app is very snappy.
Isn't it snappy?
Very snappy app.
And it's the bee's knees, everybody.
As we like to say, download the Civic Media app. It won't necessarily change the entire course of your life, but it shouldn't make it worse. I think that's fair. I think that's a fair advertisement.
Fair and snappy.
Fair and snappy. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, the award-winning Recombobulation Area, joins us every Tuesday at this time. How are you doing, Dan? What's going on?
I'm doing well. Just, staying busy. Lots going on. A lot of the things that I'm very interested in, there's been a lot happening with lately. So whether it's redistricting or my beloved Milwaukee Bucks.
Yes.
Frankly, it's been a little bit of a discombobulating week, but we're pulling it together here.
We're going to get to the Bucks a little bit later on, but let's start off and talk about the redistricting and what is going on with the six maps now that are still in contention.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's we're getting down to the wire on when the Wisconsin Supreme Court appointed consultants will be issuing a report on these maps. It's a little murky to me what exactly comes next after we get that report, if it will be just kind of a selection of those maps, a piece together, best of both worlds type of situation of the maps. But, you know, it's a bit really big deal. And I think as we kind of take a look at what's happening with the six maps that have been submitted, you know, this is, you know, if these maps are indeed in place by the March 15th deadline that the Wisconsin Elections Commission has set for new maps to be in place for the 2024 election. You know, we're going to have a brand new landscape here. It's going to be potentially the most competitive state legislative election cycle in a generation in the state of Wisconsin. So it's these downstream things that happen from upstream decisions, and this upstream decision that's happening this week on these maps is going to be just a huge, huge, huge one. We've been watching it closely at the recombobulation area. We've been watching other aspects of this debate closely as well, like what Republicans did passing their own version of Tony Evers' maps last week in Madison.
They were almost identical from what I hear.
Almost. And actually it's an interesting thing with those. So, you know, the whole reason, the whole case that was brought forth that ultimately struck down these maps was about contiguity, right? So they ruled that Wisconsin's state constitution says that all legislative districts have to be contiguous.
They have not to touch. Yep.
Not all municipal boundaries in the state of Wisconsin are contiguous. There are these, you know, islands throughout the state, but state legislative districts have to be contiguous. That was the ruling from the Wisconsin Supreme Court that struck down the previous maps. Well, it's interesting what the Republicans did to Tony Evers' map submission last week, because according to an analysis from John Johnson of Marquette University's Lubar Center, what they did when they redrew these maps that were, you know, almost the same, was that they made them non-contiguous. They made the maps potentially unconstitutionally non-contiguous. Now, Governor Evers has said that he's going to veto these maps, so this might ultimately be a moot point. But I think it really illustrates how unserious that legislative Republicans have been on this issue. Not only did they just not do the assignment from the Wisconsin Supreme Court when they were asked to do what they were supposed to do in drawing new maps, they just basically, you know, fixed for contiguity and issued the old maps. They tried to, you know, this last-ditch effort last week to go around the process, to go around the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Yep.
Pass these their version, which are almost the same, except for all the gerrymandering, and then pass their own maps. And it turns out what they did was pass maps that were non-contiguous and perhaps, again, a violation of the Wisconsin state constitution.
I mean, at this point, if you're sitting in the GOP spot right now, the old maps are going to be out. And whatever new maps they adopted, based on the conversation we had 2 weeks ago, There isn't a version of the new maps which guarantees a Democratic victory.
No.
So you let one of those maps go through. If they hold on to some seats, if they hold on to more seats than they expected, if they still retain power, they get to retain power and still complain about the liberal maps they had to deal with. So they don't really have an incentive to do the assignment at the end of the day, because I don't want to say they're going to win, but they're not going to lose all power. You know what I mean? Like they get to sit back and do whatever they want, and they could still control everything.
See, I think personally, I just think that they're bad at following directions. I think they're easily confused, and someone needed to sit them down and really explain what contiguous means and possibly even show them the dictionary definition of the word so they would have a better grasp of what the assignment was. Like you
I know
said,
what contiguous
Dan, I just,
means.
And I don't disagree with you. It's like, well, we're not going to do it because we know we're, like Greg said, we're giving up our own power. So, but to be so blatant about it just is very telling, isn't it?
It is. I think it just shows that this group of Wisconsin Republicans has been insulated in this bubble where they're just immune from accountability because of the gerrymandered maps. And they're just drunk on gerrymandering at this point. You know, they're just doing whatever they want with no consequences, because that's how they've acted for the past 12 plus years in the Wisconsin state legislature. And I'm sorry that checks and balances are a thing. I'm sorry that this is happening to you, that checks and balances are a thing. And then people wanted a change in the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the way that checks and balances are issued in this state.
It's so unfair. But, you know, accountability is so unfair, Dan. being held accountable. It just making their jobs that much harder.
Here's my test. All right, we're going to correct it now. What do you mean you're going to correct it? It's my test. That's my test.
My test is perfect.
It's fine.
It's good. Just take it.
Yeah, and the line from so many of these Republican representatives last week talking about, oh, they drew me in with this other, you know, it's just
they were malicious. It was
nonsense.
Malicious.
Such a nonsense. They're acting like these districts are their birthright to represent. Just absurd.
The hissy fit they're having over Julian Bradley is hilarious. It's like, dude, he's going to have to work. He's going to have to run. He'll have to run on his record, and good luck.
He was, you know, and here's the thing. Like, we didn't really have a normal redistricting process 2 years ago when we should have been doing this because they adopted the nonsense least change approach.
Yep.
And so instead of having new maps that reflected the changing landscape of the population and all of the different things that changed over the course of the decade, we just kind of didn't do it. And now that we're going to get maps with criteria from the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling that is abandon least change, try to make this map politically neutral. And they just can't seem to come to grips with what that reality might be. And, you know, people have made mistakes with these redistricting submissions as well. I mean, if you look at what Republicans passed last week in the non-contiguous thing, Senate Democrats made some of the same mistakes. So I think this is, you know, this analysis from John Johnson, not Ron Johnson, to be clear, John Johnson at Marquette University doesn't, you know, he has this nonpartisan expert analysis and showing that Republicans are a huge outlier on this and that they didn't do the assignment. He's also saying that Senate Democrats made some problems with their maps, might have to make some adjustments for those to pass as well. And Republicans are making the same mistakes even after those had been identified. It's just the drunk on gerrymandering.
If you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is our guest from the recombobulation area. We are talking about what's going on with the six maps that have been submitted for new maps in Wisconsin. Papa Rico has a comment. So the Wisconsin GOP won't do their assignments, never turn in their homework, and are constantly disrupting class.
Yep. And we got a text from Andrew in Maine regarding your comment, Dan, about checks and balances. He says, you don't sound sorry, Mr. Schaefer.
Guilty. Got me there.
Tony Zimmerman, drunk on gerrymandering. Now that's a title.
Yeah, drunk on the Jerry Juice.
That could be a band or a song.
We are drunk on gerrymandering.
aren't they off pretty soon? Doesn't the whole state legislature get to go on vacation in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, you know, they typically, under Republican control, they have treated the second year of their legislative session like a break, I guess,
it's
a campaign year.
It's a gap year.
It's a gap year. Yeah. And, you know, famously in 2020, they went more than nearly 300 days during a time of genuine crisis without passing a single bill. It only took until after the election that they were actually able to get together and pass a bill. You know, they have a pretty safe road to re-election, many of these Republican legislators. I think they might actually have to get out there and use that time off from being in the legislature to go out there and compete for votes, to do some campaigning. Because as I wrote last week at the recombobulation area, the number of competitive districts is going to rise significantly with any of these maps. And the number of, you know, races that were decided by less than 10% in the 2022 election, only 8 races of the 99 in the state assembly were decided by less than 10%. That projects to go up to as many as like 25, I think, in some of these different map submissions. So they're going to have to use that time off that they typically spend doing nothing to maybe compete for some votes.
You know, going back to what you're saying about some of them, and Jane, both of you saying that they just think these districts belong to them. I wonder how many of them have gotten in the past 8, 9 years, 10 years, who have had an easy time, are going to step back and be like, I don't need to knock doors today. We'll talk about lit later when we're closer to the election and they see the fuzzy end of election night because they just thought it was in the bag. Why? Like, what's the problem? I'm fine. And they lose.
Might be a discombobulating time for many of these
state legislators.
Good Lord.
Sorry,
Greg. I had to.
I feel so badly that they might have to, I don't know, work. That's just so wrong when you're used to those months and months and months of free time and the have that taken away from you because you have to actually do something for your constituents. That just, is that America?
Does that grind your gears?
Is that America? I'm not sure. We are going to continue with Dan Schaefer and continue recombobulating. Lena Taylor is now a Milwaukee County Circuit Judge, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. Sworn in yesterday.
Sworn in yesterday. We will, very exciting there. And then the Bucks, Doc Rivers' first official game as head coach was last night.
That's right.
And they won the championship. Right. The Bucks did it.
Whoosh, it's over.
It's done.
All that and more when we return. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin is on the board, and we're combobulating like we do every Tuesday at this time with Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area. Just a reminder, Bucks fans, Dan's not the only one. Tomorrow night, the Bucks at the Portland Trail Blazers. Game is at 8:30. You can listen on locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, or on Lake Air, 1260 WLAK in Amory.
Amory.
My favorite place I have yet to travel. You can always join us, 844-967-2789, or leave a comment on the live stream as well. Before you joined us, Dan, we were talking about Derek Van Orden in the 3rd District. He does have three Democrats who are going to be primarying each other, and then one will be taking him on. Texter, who's listening in La Crosse on WLCX, says, "Hey, guys. Jane, congratulations on the new show. Regarding Dork Van Orden, here in District 3, Rebecca Cook is sweeping the floor with that ill-tempered gnome. That's all. Life is beautiful."
Dork Van Orden is the least scary Jedi.
Dork Van Orden is pretty good. And you said that we had another comment?
Oh, just getting a lot of comments on the live stream. You know, Tony and Papa, they're
busy.
They're chatting up a storm here. Tony Zimmerman, politicians these days just don't want to work. Back in my day, they worked 30 hours a day.
You're so right, Tony. Yeah. They're just, it's like, you know, they're in the hammock.
Yeah.
They're lying in the hammock and they need a springboard.
And they walked uphill both ways through 2 feet of snow to get to that 30-hour a day job, didn't they?
Yeah. And they were happy to have it as well.
That's right.
Lena Taylor, just sworn in yesterday, Dan. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, interesting news out of Milwaukee. You know, Tony Evers appointing Lena Taylor to that judicial opening, sworn in right away, too, yesterday in Milwaukee. You know, she's had such an interesting electoral history for Lena Taylor. You know, she has represented District 4 in the state Senate for nearly 20 years.
Long time.
A long career in public service. Got a lot of respect for that. You know, she's always been connected to her community. But she's probably the only person who can say that she lost in elections to Scott Walker, Tom Barrett, and Cavalier Johnson, and defeated Mandela Barnes when he challenged her in the primary for the state Senate. So just a fascinating electoral history. She also lost in a race about a year ago for running for a different judicial role in Milwaukee as well. So clearly she's been looking to leave the state Senate for some time now. That'll open up a heavily Democratic seat in District 4. We have the nested districts in the state of Wisconsin. So there are three assembly districts that comprise her state Senate district, all represented by Democrats, Dora Drake, Darren Madison, and Lakeisha Myers, all part of that district. Be interesting to see if any of them, you know, with this new landscape that we have in Wisconsin, would, you know, take the next step to try to run for state senator. So that'll be one to watch as well.
Milwaukee Bucks fired Adrian Griffin, hired Doc Rivers. His first official game as head coach was last night. Dan, you're a huge Bucks fan. How are you feeling about this this decision and these moves?
Yeah, well, I just wrote a piece about the Bucks. I will occasionally take a break from writing about news and politics and all of that at the Recombobulation Era. I wrote about the Bucks over at Milwaukee Record with my friends over at Milwaukee Record. So check that one out. And the headline on there was the Bucks needed to recombobulate. They've had it's been a discombobulating season. Yes, I'm leaning into it, Greg. Get over it.
May as well own it.
I'm owning it.
And, he does own it.
It does. That's true. This has been such a confusing, weird season for the Milwaukee Bucks under Adrian Griffin. They just have not met their potential. I think the strong record that they've had for the first half of the season, you know, they had 30-13 record when Griffin was fired, kind of masked over some of the big issues that this team has faced. Their defense had cratered. They were giving up a ton of points in transition. Their offense just was, you know, kind of surviving on talent alone. They never really found a scheme that fit, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard's talents together. And you would think going into the season that these are two complementary players, and the offense under Griffin really did not have them working together. So I think, I think going from Griffin to an experienced, competent head coach like Doc Rivers is just going to raise the baseline for this team in a lot of ways. And I think you saw a little bit of that last night. Their half court defense looked much, much, much better than it had been under Griffin. I just don't think the players knew what Griffin was trying to do. And I wrote in the piece, he didn't have a discernible offensive or defensive strategy halfway through the season. I mean, it'd be one thing if they were just trying to wait for a strategy to click, you know, with all the moving pieces in the offseason or whatever. I don't think there was anything that was going to click into. So I think better to make the change now than to wait for change that might never come under Griffin. So I think I'm much more optimistic about the Bucks' chances of getting back to and potentially winning the NBA Finals under Doc Rivers than I was under Adrian Griffin. And so, you know, we've got about 2 weeks now before the trade deadline. GM John Horst is always very aggressive in making moves before the trade deadline. You know, he brought in PJ Tucker for that playoff run a couple of years ago. And so I would expect some this era of this moment of recombobulation to continue for the Bucks as they get ready for the second half of the season after the All-Star break. But I think they ultimately made the right moves with getting rid of Griffin, bringing in Doc Rivers. And I'm much more optimistic about the Bucks now than I was just a week ago.
That's all good news.
Yeah.
I mean, I will rely on your expertise. I would love to see them win another championship. It was just such a good thing for the city. It was just good in 47 different ways for Wisconsin as well, not just for the city of Milwaukee, even though it is a Milwaukee team. Dan Schaefer joins us every Tuesday from 10:30 to 11 o'clock. If you haven't yet, I highly encourage you to subscribe to the Recombobulation Area. It's such a deal.
Yes.
It is. It's a deal. And you cover so many things with such wonderful insight. It's absolutely worth the whole, what, $5?
It's $5 a month to get started, $50 for the year. And hey, if you want to really go over the top, we have an option for something called founding members. So you can pay $150 and it will go towards the work that we do at the recombobulation area.
Do I get a jacket?
Just a little extra. Yeah, that's right.
All right. Stay with us. We have news coming up next. We'll see you next week. Dan, thank you so much. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I hope for a living, shooting for the stars when I couldn't make a killing.